Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to hour three of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Thank you for being here with us. Time is flying by. We had that big breaking news in the last hour. We'll come back to it in a few about Manchin saying $1.5 trillion is his price tag, not $3.5 trillion, the reconciliation bill. Democrats in a frenzy, a flurry of activity around this. We will have to see. What does this mean? Could it all fall apart? I think unlikely. You'll probably just get spending at a lesser level. That's still crazy spending. So that's something we'll be discussing here. And then the latest on Fauci and the vaccine mandates. In fact, why don't we start there? Because one thing that we've been doing, I think, pretty well here is Clay and I have been discussing with all of you based on the data, but also the mindset of what I refer to as the commies, the healthcare authoritarians, the lab coat tyrants, the Fauciites. We know what their mentality is, so we can often see where they're going and predict it with some degree of accuracy. And what you have going on right now is right in keeping with what we've been telling you for weeks, if not months, which is it will never be enough. Whatever mandates they have gone forward with so far, as long as 1% of the country hasn't gotten the shot, there will be Democrats out there who feel like not enough force and coercion has been used, not enough polarization of the American people has occurred. One of the, I don't know if you could say the nuclear option for coercion, but certainly one of the great accelerants of this authoritarianism would be the introduction of a mandate to fly in the United States. You got to get the shot or you can't fly. Well, and this is coming right now, my friends, coming in right now from an ABC affiliate in San Francisco. Senator Dianne Feinstein has tweeted out, "We can't allow upcoming holiday air travel to contribute to another surge in COVID cases. Today, I introduced legislation requiring passengers on domestic flights to be vaccinated, test negative, or be fully recovered from a previous COVID infection." Now, this is interesting, Clay, because at least I will say, while this is overreach and it's authoritarian, Feinstein has realized the exclusion of natural immunity from the conversation is anti-scientific madness. There's no argument about this. There's no discussion. There's no good faith. Oh, but no. And Fauci, because he's a little fascist tyrant, has just gone along with what the left wanted on this. But what do you think? You think the Senate will get this through? You think that this is what we're facing this winter?
So this is really interesting, right? We've talked about the potential for vaccine mandates in order to fly in the country. It should not happen. I find it hard to believe that you could get 50 senators to agree to this. And I always think about it from the procedural process. Going to fly at an airport is already difficult, by which I mean if you've got friends, if you've got family. There's nobody who's like, hey, unless you're super rich, I guess, and you have your own private plane. There's nobody who's like, hey, do you know what's really easy and low stress? Traveling during the holidays. You know what just puts me in a great festive mood? It's trying to get through security. It's dragging presents. It's trying to travel. So what I think about even beyond the stupidity of requiring COVID vaccination passports in order to fly in the country is the application of this rule book seems to be really difficult, because are you going to have gate agents checking to see whether or not people have vaccine passports? Are you going to have, how often is somebody going to forget their paperwork and they're going to show up at the airport? This happens all the time, right? You forget something that you plan to travel with. What are you going to do about young children who might be 12 or 13 years old? Are you going to mandate the vaccine for them too? And much of the airline industry already is struggling. They haven't had the same level of passenger travel ever since we shut down in March of 2020, and they've struggled in order to try to get their businesses back up and running. So I just don't think that this is going to have a great deal of public support. And also, I say that with this caveat, if cases were surging in October and November, I think there would be some support. I just don't think you can get 50 senators to vote for it. I'd rather have the debate in Congress than have the Biden administration just wade in and make it a default rule. That's somewhat encouraging, at least.
It feels like the standard is whatever the level of public hysteria may be based on the media coverage of this at any point in time, whatever that's how they will then gauge the government mandates and overreach. So they're essentially lining it up with, if everyone is freaked out, doesn't matter what's true, what's not, what's worked, what hasn't. If people are freaked out, the Democrat position on this, because as we know, this is incredibly politically polarized, we're going to do more. We're going to go even further. And I've got to say, you have also this attitude that we mentioned before of people who are saying, Clay, you're a threat to the vaccinated if you're unvaccinated. This is the logic that you'll have from Kathleen Sebelius, who was Obama's HHS secretary. Here she is saying that unvaccinated people, you know, it's like secondhand smoke.
To me, it's a lot like secondhand smoke. You have a right to be a smoker. The science is very clear what smoking will do to you, what cancer will be caused, what kinds of health conditions. You have a right to be a smoker. What you don't have a right to do is smoke next to my desk, to blow smoke on me, blow smoke on my children, to force me to live in a housing facility where I am subjected to your smoke. That's a line that we finally have in this country that delineates what your individual rights are and what you have a right to do to make me sick and make my kids sick. So I think we're looking at very much the same situation.
Except she's talking about breathing and not smoking. That's, you actually don't have the right to breathe normally anymore, based on her own analogy.
Not only that, it doesn't end, because there's always going to be a virus that one person can spread to another person. And in my lifetime, we've never sat around and held people accountable for spreading the cold or the flu or whatever virus might move from one person to another, because we understand that in a functional society, it's virtually impossible to stop viruses from moving, short of these draconian lockdowns, which some of the crazy Fauciites still support. It is, in fact, an impossibility to stop. And so why would the logic end there? Let's say that one day COVID descends into being like the flu. The logic that she's applying there would also apply for the flu or any other virus that might spread from one person to another. And this is why it's a form of madness. Now, I do think, and we were talking earlier, Buck, and I think it's worth pointing out, in the early halcyon days of the vaccine, when everybody was talking about how the summer was going to be amazing and there was no risk and people who got vaccinated were out celebrating like crazy, throwing parties all over the place, all the restrictions got relieved, right? Even Fauci himself came out and said, hey, you don't have to wear masks anymore. There was a form of euphoria as the cases were going down. Then in late July, when these cases started to skyrocket again, and we talked about the rise, the draconian authoritarian tendencies rise as case counts rise. So you talked about in the last hour, and I think it's the probably most important question that we face as a country as we roll through the fall and the winter. What are cases going to do?
Right.
Because if cases continue to go up, the authoritarian tendencies follow in close concert. If they come down, then there's a lessening.
I will say there's been a concurrent situation where the incrementalism of the Fauciites all along has been just 2 weeks, right? We talk about this frequently, just 2 weeks, just a little more, just do this, just do that. The flip side to that coin is that on the other end of the spectrum, there are people we keep saying, okay, this is the line they shall not cross.
Yeah.
This is where they have gone too far. And unfortunately, they cross it and we go, okay, well, you may have gotten us on the employer mandate. You know, you may have gotten away with it this time, buddy, but they've gotten away with it pretty much every time, which is why when you hear, for example, the United Airlines CEO, Scott Kirby, this guy's like, first of all, United Airlines, I can't say it's the worst airline.
You've flown Frontier. Spirit.
I mean, Spirit, you get what you pay for, actually. It's a good deal sometimes. I don't know.
I don't have a strong opinion on any airline other than Southwest, which I fly all the time because they're in Nashville and I like them. But I know that people have strong feelings on airlines. And United,
I've had days of my life ruined by United Airlines more times than I care to remember. That said, CEO Scott Kirby is like, look, you know, make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. You get vaccine mandates, you got to fire almost 600 people. Too bad, NBD, see you later. Here's what he says.
Well, look, I'm really proud and gratified that the United team, excluding the people that have applied for religious or medical accommodations, over 99% got vaccinated. It proves that vaccine mandates do work and that you can get a huge percentage of your your workforce vaccinated. You know, I wish it had been 100%, but it was never going to be 100%. But I think 99% we feel really good about. I feel bad for the 593 people, the less than 1% that are going to leave. But we were focused on doing the right thing for United Airlines. And it's great to have this in the rearview mirror for us and the ability to just move forward now.
It isn't in the rearview mirror. This is what we need to keep hammering, Buck. Even if 100% of people were vaccinated, there is still going to be a massive amount of COVID for years and years to come. And the idea, we also need to keep slamming this. The idea that a mandate is successful when you are forcing people to do something for their job or else you're going to fire them, that is what would typically be called an extortionate demand. If somebody came to you and said, hey, either you sell me your house or I'm going to shoot you, you would have a high level of successful home sales. You wouldn't then brag and say, man, a lot of people want to sell their homes. This is a sign of how well a home sale business works. No, they want to not die. People want to keep their jobs. Arguing mandates are successful because people follow them is not in any way a justification for the mandate.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation believes in doing good, period. Founded by the brother of a fallen hero who sacrificed his life on the morning of 9/11 in an attempt to save the lives of others, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation is dedicated to helping the families of those fallen heroes and so many others who defend our freedoms. And they're doing good every day across the country. The foundation has done incredible things this year, and there's even more to come. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's, they'll provide a new home to a family in need in their season of hope.
And Buck, these are mortgage-free homes. This year, they'll gift a total of 200 mortgage-free homes to America's heroes and their families. They do this thanks to your support, thanks to your monthly donation of $11 a month in honor of those who sacrificed everything on 9/11. You'll see and experience their work this fall, too, as they're recognizing those we lost in the war on terror in a ceremony on Veterans Day. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's $11 a month at T2T.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Lots of news out there about the budget. We'll give you a little bit of that as we roll through the final hour of the program today. Buck, we played the awful Ron DeSantis attack ad earlier in the program.
Awful in that it's so amazing,
yes,
for Ron DeSantis, and awful for the people who think it's going to hurt him.
They are so clueless. They are bragging about the 1 million views that they have gotten for their anti-Ron DeSantis ad. You need to go check it out at clayandbuck.com if you haven't seen it already. You can also download the podcast, and you can hear that we played it in the first hour of the program. And I think you will love it. And a part of me wonders whether this was set up, whether like DeSantis and his crew actually had something to do with it, because the attack ad is so flagrantly awful and actually positive for many people, I think, who would be interested in going to the state of Florida. It's worth debating and discussing. Do you think there's any way that this was a false flag?
DeSantis false flag?
Yeah.
I have been concerned about that a little bit. It's such a backfire that it's hard to believe anybody. They have ominous music as he's saying things like, I believe in individuals,
yes,
having freedom over their lives. I believe in the right
masks
to live your life in,
yeah,
some degree, you know, of autonomy. And they're like, dun, dun, dun.
And by the way, the number of people that have moved to Florida is massive, right? And the number of people that have gone to Florida on vacation specifically because they have some level of freedom. I think Ron DeSantis called the state of Florida an oasis of freedom in his analysis of what exactly was going on down there. But again, you and I were talking about off air. The numbers are pretty stark. In the last 14 days, cases in Florida are down somewhere between 55 and 60%, to the point now where on a per capita basis, only 8 states have a lower COVID rate in this country than Florida. For all of the attention that we got on Florida as the cases rose, shouldn't, if the news story is a substantial change in the case levels in Florida, shouldn't, Buck, if you're being an honest journalist, it be the exact same level of story with cases going up as it is with cases going down?
But yeah, absolutely. And also, why isn't there, because, you know, I tweeted out something about this. You've been tweeting out about this, too. And I've got the blue check moron piranhas all going bite coming after me saying, oh, when a mass murderer stops killing people, there's a 100% decrease in the murder. I mean, it's like the level of stupidity from people,
you know,
who
the
have
mass
followings.
Murderer getting caught is a big story.
You
right?
Think.
Like, which would change the story.
It would change
right?
the trajectory, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Here's the problem. Here's why they can't talk about the 55 to 65% decrease in cases in Florida. Because why? They told us that the reason it was going up so much was Ron DeSantis hates children and babies and animals and wants old people to die of COVID and everyone to die of COVID. That was basically their explanation for it.
And because they weren't wearing masks or getting vaccinated.
Well, yes. But they said that the vaccine rate is super low. It's not true. It's about the national average in
That's
Florida.
Right.
He was pushing for monoclonal antibodies. They said, oh, it's because he has a financial interest or some donor, which was total crap. They lied about him and they created this whole narrative. Okay, if let's just put aside how it was all bull crap. Why is the caseload down 50% now? What has changed? Kids are in school now. Shouldn't it be so much higher? I don't think so.
And that's why Florida is such a threat, because it proves that all of the mandates that are out there, most of them are cosmetic theater. It's designed to make people feel better without actually changing anything. Is that actually what's going on in the budget? We'll talk about that in a moment, because Joe Manchin has finally come out and said what his bottom line is. And speaking of the blue check brigade, Buck, they are not happy with him at all.
I think it's histrionics. I think a lot of Democrats, Clay, the ones who know what time it is, so to speak, they knew that something like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Schumer knew. The ones who really call the shots knew. And yeah, the squad goes out there so that, you know, the HuffPost MSNBC crowd feels heard, but nothing changes.
We'll see whether or not the infrastructure bill is able to get passed or not. That potentially could happen today. If it's up for a vote, that would signal that Nancy Pelosi is at least a little bit optimistic in terms of her ability to do that. But first, Buck, what you got for us?
Look, what's your cell phone bill this month? $80 a month? $100 a month? Hundreds of thousands of people have said goodbye to their overpriced plans with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile and switched to Pure Talk. Pure Talk is on the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a fraction of those higher prices. In fact, Pure Talk, get this, saves the average family over $800 a year. Switching to Pure Talk is so easy, too. You can keep your number and your phone. You'll get a new SIM card from Pure Talk. We are customers, Clay and I both. You should be too. Listen to this offer. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network is just $30 a month. Their customer service is all based here in the U.S. They're incredible. You're going to love this service. Pure Talk has a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you literally have nothing to lose. All you do from your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month. Again, from your cell phone right now, dial #250, say Pure Talk. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have been diving deep into the latest on the budget showdown, the fight on Capitol Hill over how many trillions of dollars to spend, how much inflation do the socialists really want? Answer is a lot. They don't care. They don't think that that's something to be worried about. Whatever's fair in their minds, that's what should be done. Spend whatever you need to spend. Clay and I are going to come back to that in a moment, but we've also been looking at why Florida doesn't get a lot of attention right now as a state that had for a couple of months been constantly attacked. And Ron DeSantis, in very personal terms, was attacked as the governor of that state for the surge in COVID cases. It had to be because of a lack of mask mandates, a lack of vaccine mandates, whatever it was. Now, suddenly, last couple of weeks, cases are down 55-60%. And they don't have any interest in explaining why that is. What changed? Ron DeSantis didn't bend the knee. All of a sudden, there wasn't some big switch It's almost like this virus is seasonal and everyone should know or did know that and didn't care for reasons of politics. There is this ad out there by Remove Ron, and Clay brings up a good point. I do want to say there is the possibility in the back of my mind this is a false flag. Like,
it's just so ridiculous.
Right. And so it could be a false flag. But even if it is, it's still a great ad because of what it sort of shows you, because it does get to the Democrat mentality about Ron DeSantis. Let's have this ad play again for just so you know, while this, you can only hear it, but just visualize people sort of ominously in masks on planes and
An airplane flying to Florida, terrified.
Going to Florida, terrified of, like, Florida's a post-apocalyptic zombie zone or something. Here is the ad.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of your cabin crew, we'd like to inform you that we have officially entered Florida airspace. Now that we're making our final descent, please watch this short message from Governor Ron DeSantis on COVID-19. Thereafter, everyone on board will be required to comply with the state's forever purge.
We are not doing any vaccine passports in the state of Florida. We trust people to make their own decisions in this state. We are not going to be bludgeoning people with restrictions and mandates and lockdowns or any of that stuff.
As Governor DeSantis stated, while you're within state lines, you do not have to wear a mask. You do not have to get a vaccine. It is against the law for private businesses or schools to mandate masks or vaccines. And you have the absolute right to infect whoever you want, whenever, and wherever, with COVID-19. Thank you for traveling with us, and please, enjoy your forever purge.
The forever purge, Clay. What is your favorite part of this? Because for me, it's bludgeoning people with restrictions. We're not going to bludgeon people with restrictions. And the music is, you know, dun, dun, dun.
The music is alarming. But what he's saying, I feel like almost everyone listening to us is nodding along with, which is why I wonder, first of all, we know that a lot of the COVID alarmists are complete imbeciles and morons who don't understand the least bit of data. So that's the part of me that believes, hey, this could be real. The other part of me thinks, if you just listen to the words that are coming out of his mouth, that is exactly what you should want a reasonable person to be saying right now. So if you had Ron DeSantis pick a clip that could be shared to help advertise why people should move to Florida, if you removed the alarming music and played, like, I don't know, Lee Greenwood in the background, like, everything changes.
You could play the Beach Boys in the background. It'd be perfect. It'd be like a Florida Board of Tourism ad.
That's what I'm saying.
He actually is saying, no vaccine passports. We trust people to make their own decisions. We're not going to bludgeon people with restrictions. Bludgeoning people with restrictions, Libs, is a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Like, I was talking last night with a couple of friends, and I know we talked about this on the show yesterday as well. The idea, I've never seen anything like the number of people begging for the government to restrict them more. Don't allow me to live. That's what people are screaming to the government all the time, all day long, every day. It's not, and again, it's not even that they want just, that they can make whatever choice they want, right? If you're terrified of COVID, except for the last 18 months, you can be like Joe Biden and hide in your basement. Maybe you'll get elected president too. But for everybody else, it's that you're mandating your lifestyle choices on everyone else. Your fears are dictating everyone else's freedoms. And it's stunning to me that we've allowed it to get to this place.
We both love the movie The Matrix. I put it in top 10, maybe even top 5 action. Matrix Part 1. Let's not get crazy. Matrix Part 3.
New one coming out, by the way.
But I know they're coming out with another one, right?
Yeah.
Matrix Part 1, one of the best action movies of all time. What we've seen is that Fauciites see the people that are being used as human batteries in the pink goo with their head shaved and everything and go, but they're safe and warm and it looks kind of nice in there. That's what Fauciism is. People wanting to be in the pink slime, kept all encapsulated and used as a human battery and fed the sludge of other people.
I read an interesting story the other day, Buck. I'm curious if you would buy into this. They said that because Fauci made his career fighting HIV, that he is fighting the battle of HIV against a new virus, which is nowhere near as dangerous. And you know how a war is always fought using the technology of the previous war? It's one of the tried and true sort of military aphorisms that's out there. How much of Fauci's reaction to COVID is predicated on HIV? Because HIV is a far more dangerous virus, certainly, than anything that is COVID. It's far less transmissible, thankfully. But I wonder how much of this is just him fighting the battle that is the most recent one that he fought.
I think that's it's interesting because also Fauci was one of the people who was promoting HIV as much more broadly dangerous to the general population instead
back
of focusing
in the day than it was.
Back in the day, instead of focusing in on the highest risk factors. There was a lot of politics around this. But the highest risk factors were certain sexual activities, intravenous drug use, hemophiliacs. I mean, there were people, you know, people had to get a blood transfusion. I mean, so there were certain situations where you had a much higher risk. But what they did was they told everybody, basically, you need to be constantly in fear of this virus, which was actually, it's actually the transmissibility rate for each act, for example.
Do you know what it is for heterosexual sex?
I think it's point, I think it's either 0.3 or 0.03, something.
I looked it up because I was like everybody of our generation. They tried to tell us that we were all in mortal peril of HIV. I mean, anybody who's around our age, like in school, like it was.
They
it
made
was
a movie real- about New York City kids when I was a kid in New York City giving each other HIV. It was called Kids was the name
yeah.
of the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Harmony Korine's movie back in the day. 1 in 400. If two heterosexual people, the person has what, yeah, HIV.
0.3 or close. I mean, the numbers are close, right?
Yeah, 1 in 400. So I mean, even if you slept with somebody who had HIV, which obviously nobody wants to do, but the odds and similarly being able to determine what was rational and irrational behavior, because so much of what Fauci is saying is not only proven wrong, it's indicative of someone who does not understand basic risk or probability. That's what's so frustrating to me.
Bureaucrats at the CDC are not supposed to be making decisions. They're not supposed to have power because they are not accountable. And yes. What has happened here is we have seen this hybrid of a system where the elected officials are saying, I just do whatever the CDC tells me. And the CDC says, I just let the elected officials make the decision, and no one is ever held to account for the stupid rules. It's just another version of when I go into the coffee shop on my corner sometimes, people standing in line with masks, people 3 feet away from them, sitting down at tables, no masks. I want to say, who's promoting this idiocy? No one. But
there's
we all
no
still
rationale.
Have to do it somehow.
No rationality to it. You're about to head to the airport, fly, get up. You'll be able to have a beer in
the
airport.
Yeah, let's have some
terminal.
Talk. Let's have some Alabama talk and some fun football
some
talk.
Fun
we come back.
Finish.
Let's take it in a different direction here because, Clay, I'm coming down Alabama. Mr. Travis is showing me my first ever real college football game. I mean, I went to a D3 game back in the day.
I'm telling you, you are going to be blown away by how much fun you're going to have. And also, it's important to note, fall is a time of year when temperatures can swing 30 days in a day. You're overheating, freezing the next. To be ready for anything, you need underwear that can handle everything. Tommy John underwear. When you start off your day wearing Tommy John, you're more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Tommy John's men's underwear, breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric, four times the stretch of competing brands. That's why they don't have customers, Buck. They have fanatic fans, and we're going to see a lot of fans this weekend.
I wear my Tommy John t-shirts every day into the office now to do this show at the studio. I love their hoodies. Their new loungewear collection, it's the most comfortable stuff I own, honestly. Allie, our producer, is wearing her Tommy John sweatshirt right now, going to the airport with me because we're heading down to hang out with Clay. We're all Tommy John fanatics here because the gear is just that comfortable, honestly. Like, I actually end up washing the t-shirts really frequently just so I always have a good supply of them. They look great, they feel even better, and it's all backed by Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck. That's TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/ClayandBuck. See site for details.
Welcome back in. Final segment, Thursday edition of the program. Encourage you to go subscribe, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast. You can go give us 5 stars. I know some of you, because it feels like I get emails about this every time somebody can't download the podcast, Buck. I don't know if you get this. They come to me as if like I'm a podcast guru and understand how anything works on the internet, really. But I do know that if you unsubscribe and then resubscribe, all the latest episodes will show up. They are there. If you're not seeing them and you're trying to make sure that you don't miss a minute, that's the way to do it. Buck, as soon as we finish the show here, you are headed. Have you ever been to the state of Alabama at all before?
I have not.
There you go. Has Allie been to the state of Alabama before?
Cruiser Allie has not.
So you are both about to land in sweet home Alabama this evening. And then we are doing the show from Birmingham tomorrow in our affiliate station there in Alabama. And then we're going to be at the Ole Miss Alabama game for Buck Sexton's first ever college football game.
And I'm going to try not to embarrass Clay. I have been looking online at some of the best body paint options. So I think you got to do a big like A for Alabama on the front and maybe, you know, OL or so. I don't know, whatever you do for Ole Miss or on the back. And then some face paint. I got to go face paint, too. You know, Clay, I go big or I go home. You know what I mean? I got to do it all the way.
I'm trying to think. I don't hardly ever remember seeing, other than college kids who every now and then paint, like they want to recruit on their chest or something like that. I'm trying to think of an adult man that has ever painted
other than
himself.
Putty and Seinfeld at the Devil's game?
That's exactly what I'm thinking about. I mean, got to support the team.
And where's the place that we're, where's the big pre, the big tailgate pregame party on Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Innisfree Pub. So for anybody out there who is going to go to Ole Miss, Alabama, or going to be like, Buck, I think what you're going to be stunned by is how many people come and don't even go in the stadium. Just come for the party, come to tailgate all day, drink outside.
That was my college football experience at my tiny college in New England, was that on homecoming weekend, there were all the parties that we went to around the football stadium. I did not care to see our tiny football team lose very badly to whoever they were playing, so I didn't go.
Yes, so these people will be there celebrating and come to the Innisfree Pub. We're doing, if you're a college football fan at all, we are doing a live show for Outkick, and then I'll be on the Big Noon kickoff show with Brady Quinn and Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Bob Stoops, and Rob Stone, that show. But we will be live starting at 8 a.m. on Saturday from the Innisfree Pub, which is right there in Tuscaloosa. You can easily walk from there to the stadium. Buck and I will be there. You'll be able to come by, say hi. We'll have an awesome time, and you guys can come see what I think is going to be a gleeful Buck Sexton as he realizes that he's lived. When's your birthday? When do you turn 40?
December 28th. Clay keeps telling me I'm going to meet the future Mrs. Sexton at this football game.
Yeah, so you're going to turn 40 on December 28th. You have almost made it two generations without going to a big college football game. So I think you're just going to have an ecstatic grin on your face throughout the entirety of the day. I really do.
Let's see what Dane in Elizabethtown, Kentucky's got for us. Hey, Dane.
Just trying to find out if Clay really did like Buck, because you're going to dip him into the deep end of the pool to Crimson Tide game instead of something easy like maybe UT and Knoxville or something?
Now, look, I want him to go to a big game. I also believe that what I'm curious. On Monday, we'll find out. But if I had to predict what will most impress Buck, I think it's going to be the girls. I think you are going to be blown away by the Alabama and the Ole Miss girls. My buddy Dub, who's an Auburn grad, is here nodding his head in the background. I think for a guy who has never been to a college football game, the girls dressed up in their sundresses, I think you are going to leave. I know it's a little bit of a different world because you'll have 100,000 people without masks, and you and Allie are coming from New York City. So I think basically, you know, we talk about when normalcy is going to return. College football fans have said, hey, we're back to normal with the tailgating, the partying,
it'll
and going to the games.
It'll be exciting to talk to a 30-something-year-old female without two masks on my face and without having to say that I'm a male feminist and my preferred pronouns are. So, you know, that's going to be a nice change. Thank you so much, Dane, by the way, calling in from Kentucky. You know, Clay, that's the thing, man.
Nobody at Ole Miss Alabama is going to ask you for your preferred pronouns.
That's good. That's what I like to hear. Fred in Marcy, New York, what do you got for us?
Yes, sir. First of all, have fun at the football game.
Thank you.
And one thing that the main comment here is that everybody's talking about, you know, 3.5 trillion versus 1.5 trillion versus whatever. And problem is, you can do an awful lot of damage with 1.5 trillion.
No doubt.
For example, you know, they sneak in stuff like the amnesty part and the, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important call. We should point out the amnesty has been shot down under budget reconciliation rules for right now. They were trying to sneak in 8 million undocumented immigrants and giving them amnesty.
That's a lot of people to sneak in a bill under reconciliation.
But they shot that down. The Senate parliamentarian did. The challenge with the 1.5, and this is what Democrats are banking on, is if they can start a new governmental policy, it becomes really hard to shut it down. So while they're saying it's only going to cost $1.5 trillion, if you look off into the horizon, it can cost a lot more, which is why at least Manchin has shot down $2 trillion of this spending. We'll see what ends up happening with infrastructure and more. We'll be breaking it down for you from Alabama, Buck.
Tomorrow, Clay and I will be together in Alabama at our fantastic affiliate station in Birmingham, which we're very excited about. So if you see us walking around Birmingham, I'll be the guy with the side swoop and the sunglasses on his head and probably walking around in boat shoes. Clay will be in a t-shirt because that's and flip-flops probably. Come say hi to us.
Chance.
And if you see us, obviously, Saturday at the football game, please come. Even if you're not going to go into the game, as Clay said, come party with us outside the NS Free Pub. We'll be doing our thing there. And tomorrow, speaking of amnesty, tens of thousands of illegal migrants wanting to cross into the United States are, according to the country of Panama, on their way up north. Border crisis yet again. We'll break it down for you. Join us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.